to Cofield and Company.
All right, back here on Cofield and Company. No Cofield today. It's myself, Ryan Big Mac McKinnell, across the way. Chris Chapman, otherwise known as Magnum. Got Ari, Young Schwab here. The Finley Toyota Studios. Thanks to our guests, Brad Powers from pregame.com, Adam Candy from the Legal Sports Report. Both of them, you can find their interviews. If you missed any of that, be up on the website, lvsportsnetwork.com, after the show. So make sure to check that out. But right now, you've been waiting for it. We've been waiting for it. It's Big Five time.
Or not.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five. Number five.
Hey, it happens. Nobody's perfect. All right, Big Five time here on Cofield and Company. First up at number five, it is... Chapman, I don't know. We didn't talk about this. Nope. We're going into this blind, but right. I feel like we know each other well enough that I can make a Big Five list, and it's going to be in your wheelhouse.
Probably.
Now, my wheelhouse, at least as a child, one of my go-to movies, like talking about like VHS tape wearing out, like, you know, watch it 100 times, know every line.
Be kind, please rewind.
Yeah, not that movie, which was a movie with Mos Def and Jack Black.
I've never heard of it.
You haven't?
No.
Okay, well, that's why I wanted to clean that up. But you haven't heard of it? Okay, that's.
I hope that's not where we're going.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's a conversation for another time. No, I wouldn't ambush you with that. No, but another good movie, another classic. Movie VHS that I wore out, Terminator 2.
Yes.
Of course. Kind of a movie that set the bar for special effects and action movies for the next. I mean, heck, you can almost. Actually, it's a movie you can watch where it's like, you know what? That holds up. Like the special effects, I mean.
Oh, absolutely.
There aren't a lot of movies like that.
Yeah. It's one of those things that, like, if you watch like movies from when we were kids, especially from the 80s, the special effects, like, well, I'm trying to think of the one, like some of the monster movies, especially, like, The Gate and things like that, yeah. Ghoulies. Like, it's so corny,
right?
The special effects. But T2?
That's legit.
Absolutely. You know what? And there were so many cool things that evolved from T2 as well.
Well.
Fantastic pinball game.
That's a good, great point.
And absolutely fantastic lead song, Guns N' Roses,
true.
You Will Be Mine.
That's true. The standalone arcade game that had the gun, the Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Oh, with the little robots.
Yeah. That was a great game. But no, to continue on that nostalgia tip and to continue on the things that branched off of that great movie, well, there are a lot of sequels to Terminator. I'm certain you've seen them.
They've all sucked.
Yes. Christian Bale was in one of them. I don't know if Christian Bale's done a bad movie, but if he has, it was that one. And then there's been a couple other reboots, but none were with Sarah Connor herself, the great Linda Hamilton, but she is back. They are putting out a new Terminator, and we got our first look at Linda Hamilton as Sarah Connor, and I got to be honest, the photo was released this week. Paramount Pictures is doing it up. She looks pretty badass, man. Flak jacket, AR-15 or a shotgun strapped up, looking fairly young, looking like she could take me on. I would never say a bad word to her. So Sarah Connor is back. You in?
I'm all in, yeah. And James Cameron is back as well, of course, former wife or husband to Linda Hamilton. Yep. They were married when that movie was made, and but they won't be bringing back the kid who played Jack Connor. I know he was an American History X. I can't remember his name. But
oh, John Connor, yeah.
John Connor, the son. What, I can't remember the actor's name, but I know he's had a lot of issues off the screen. But
actually, Edward Furlong, you know what?
That's it, yeah, Edward Furlong. Yeah.
I don't know.
He may not still be alive,
that
actually.
That is exactly what I thought. I don't mean to laugh, but that's like when I heard Edward Furlong, that was my first instinct was like, is John Connor still alive?
Yeah.
And the answer is yes, he's 41 years old.
Wow.
John Connor is still alive and kicking. Hell yeah.
They won't. All right, so we could laugh now because he's not dead.
Yeah.
they won't be bringing him back. He's not involved.
He was like the blueprint for me for like the independent badass kid. Like he had a dirt bike. He got to go play at arcades wherever he wanted. Like when there were monsters chasing him, he was able to get away. Like he was a very capable, independent young man. I like to think I modeled myself in many ways after the young John Connor.
Yeah, that's cool. And I don't think Schwarzenegger is going to be involved either, is he?
No, thank God.
No. All right.
Because I think that was kind of one of the, you talk about the other ones sucking. It was like they kept trying to go back and rehash and, you know, nostalgia pulls. Now, granted, as we say, you're talking about Linda Hamilton returning. That's exactly what this is. It's a cash grab on nostalgia. But I feel like there's more meat on the bones with the character Sarah Connor rather than bringing back, you're trying to bring back Arnold.
Well, the guy who did Deadpool is involved as well, if I read the story correctly. Yeah. So that's a good thing because Deadpool was I thought a really good movie. And you know, it's gonna be interesting because will it capture the audience the way it did when you and I were kids? Because we're about the same age, and you know, I remember I didn't see it in the movies, but I remember seeing it on VHS, and it was for a kid, it was a really cool movie to see. The very original Terminator, also a very cool movie. I remember the opening scene where Schwarzenegger is walking around naked and he kills the guy. It'll be fun for sure.
I'm hoping. I have all my heartstrings are attached to this movie. Don't mess this up.
I'm going for the win with James Cameron.
Don't mess this up, James.
Number four.
All right. So as we sit here and get into this big five, one of the things we've been talking about, I feel like the entirety of this show, is the Urban Meyer situation. We haven't got to this part, which is actually the lead story on ESPN right now. I was kind of hoping it would be a lead story for a different reason. But headline reads, Urban Meyer's deal with Bob Evans, restaurants put on hold. Okay. All right, I guess that's big news. I guess the bigger news to me, and I think to you as well, like there's still Bob Evans?
Yeah, it's kind of like Carrows, right? Carrows, are they still around?
Honestly, bro, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Ari says they're still around, so he
Oh, now he's giving the half
maybe,
half.
Yeah.
What is your hand signal suck, dude? Like there's no affirmation. Like what, yes or no? Is Carl's alive or dead? Okay, so well,
I only know Shoney's still exists because of Rick and Morty.
Yeah, I know Shoney's.
Otherwise, I would never know that Shoney's still existed. I mean, obviously, that's a very big joke in that show, Rick
Shoney's,
and Morty.
Shoney's is like a mid-Atlantic.
Maybe. Right? Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's like kind of the regional. But yeah, so Bob Evans announced on Thursday that they were putting their relationship with Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer on hold. So the quote from Bob Evans, not actual Bob Evans, but the...
He may be dead, the original Bob Evans.
I got a feeling he's dead, yeah. Yeah, sorry, Bob, if you're alive and if you're listening to the show, but I'm
kind of like Jimmy Dean.
Yeah.
That guy's dead.
Just kind of feeling like you're dead. Kind of feeling like you've been around for a long time.
He's still selling sausages, but Jimmy Dean is dead.
Well, good for both of them. Quote, at Bob Evans, we believe strongly in the family first values upon which this company was founded. Bob Evans Restaurants is suspending the current partnership with Urban Meyer and removing all related content pending the results of the official Ohio State University investigation. All right. So the dominoes are starting to fall.
That's kind of funny because it wasn't the 30 arrests at Florida. It wasn't all the other indiscretions. This was the final straw for Bob Evans.
Oh,
that Urban Meyer was not a good guy.
It's just a suspension. Yeah. Right. Well, this isn't for sure yet. We don't know what's going to happen. But, I mean, listen, it doesn't look good for Urban Meyer. I mean, it feels like Bob Evans, along with many people, I understand there's a bit of a mob culture and a mob mentality with today's not only fandom, but media to an extent, and we do have to be careful of that. But when you look at this situation, when you look at this case, when you look at the scandal, sounds like Bob Evans are kind of feeling what the rest of us are feeling.
Yeah, it's about time that this guy basically faced the music for the long list of things that have gone on under his watch.
Number three.
It's at number three, but this might be my favorite number on the Big Five, and that is because I am an office mark. I'm talking about The Office, Steve Carell's show, going back to, obviously, the England version, or the English version, the England version.
Close enough.
Punch myself like Cofield. But no, it is, in my opinion, probably the greatest sitcom to ever air in America. It just... I went back and watched. I'm actually in the midst of watching it. I'm in season 9, so which is the last season. I started about 6 months ago. Every night we watch an episode or two, or, you know, we miss a night here and there. But going back and watching it, I can't believe at the level of humor that they were able to pack into a 30-minute show. Like, it is an absolutely incredible testament to quality writing. Not only am I a fan of The Office, but apparently the one and only Kirk Cousins. Captain Kirk, huge fan of The Office. The Ringer put out a question on Twitter. Okay, what are you putting your hands up? You don't like it?
No, I shouldn't have been looking, but I watched the Bears quarterback throw an interception at the 5-yard line.
Dude, for real?
Yeah, Mitchell Trubisky. Good job, bro.
No, that wasn't Mitch.
No?
No, it was number 4. I think it was.
Oh, he hit the guy in the helmet. Yeah. Come on.
That was perfectly Bears. You're asking me not to get distracted. You just told me my team threw an interception. Now I don't know what I'm going to do. It's still a preseason. I just say this. It's still preseason, but it doesn't matter. It sucks all the same. I'm like, oh, Bears threw an interception. Yeah. Perfect. It's everything that I have come to expect from the Chicago Bears. We are not even 4 minutes into the season, and they've already thrown an interception off the opposing player's helmet. Thank you. Thank you, Chicago. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank me for distracting you so that you had to see that.
taking my jersey off. No, I'm not actually going to do that. But, all right, getting back to Kirk Cousins, The Office. At least stay in the NFL spectrum. We're
and in the NFC Central.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Very, very nice segue there, sir. But no, The Ringer put out a list. And actually, I believe Mr. Powers when he was on, he talked about this list that was put out, top 100, or no, maybe I think it was Adam Candy. We were talking about his love for television and ALF. But he talked about
ALF.
He has a big love for ALF. ALF is coming back. I don't know if you heard that. You missed that. That was in the first hour as we talked about ALF. But no, The Ringer put out a list yesterday of the top 100 best episodes in television history, and the question they asked, we had trouble figuring out which episode of The Office should make our 100 best episode list.
I am going to greatly disappoint you.
Oh,
I have never seen one episode.
What is the matter with you?
I know it's Dunder Mifflin, right? There's Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. I know Steve Carell was in it. Ed Helms, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a cute blonde girl. I can't remember her name.
I feel like you're like me talking about Star Wars in the 90s. It's like, yeah, I haven't seen Star Wars.
What?
But like, yeah, like Darth Vader is the father of Luke Skywalker, and Yoda's the little green dude. And so literally, yeah. you fully recognize that this is a huge part of Americana. You just have not taken part in it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I have seen parts of The English Show with Ricky Gervais. I have seen, you know, episodes of that.
What are you, un-American? Do you hate America?
Well, no, because they used to show it before BBC America became the Star Trek Next Generation channel.
Mm.
Because every time I flip on BBC America, that's what's on.
Mm.
And I'm convinced that that's all they show now. But they used to show the English version on BBC America.
Wow.
And I liked BBC America because there were some shows like Fawlty Towers that I liked, and I would watch them, and once in a while, I'd see that. But
yeah, well, none of them are good as The Office. I agree. I'm pretty sure Kirk Cousins agrees. I know The Ringer agrees. I can't help that you are an outlier in this conversation.
But I lose.
Kirk responded to that Ringer post, and he said it was nearly impossible to choose the best episode of The Office. He said either Dinner Party has to win for most awkward, but he said my all-time favorite episode is probably the original Dundee's episode, which the Dundee's were an award that Michael Scott would give out to his employees.
Dunder Mifflin employees.
Exactly.
Okay.
It was the award show that he set up.
Now, is that on Netflix?
You know what? I don't know.
So if it is, I could binge watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Ari's giving me the thumbs up, so yeah, I guess it is.
But we don't know what Ari's doing.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know if he's giving me
making all sorts of hand motions and weird movements behind the board.
Giving thumbs up to that interception from 4 minutes ago. Oh my God! They're showing a replay of it. It is so, okay. I gotta stay focused. I gotta stay focused here.
Danielson.
The Office. Kirk Cousins loved the Dinner Party episode and the Dundee's episode. If I'm picking from those two, which I honestly do think, there's the survival episode where Michael Scott goes into the woods and tries to prove that he's a survivalist, and Dwight kind of tries to save him. That's a really great episode as he tears up his suit trying to make a shelter. Highly enjoyable, but for me, nothing beats the Dinner Party episode when Jan loses it and chucks the trophy against the television. It is the best show ever. I don't know what you're missing.
Is Jan the redhead woman?
Yeah, she was like, no, I think you're thinking of Pam,
okay.
the secretary.
Is Jan the cute blonde?
No, that was Angela.
Okay.
No, Jan was the crazy... a boss at one point? Yeah, and Michael Scott's former lover, former boss. It's just the whole thing.
I think you're speaking Russian to me right now.
I think the moral of this story is you need to stop being a weirdo and get caught up on The Office.
Number two.
All right, so number two. Speaking of weirdos.
Now we're going to my wheelhouse.
What a segue that is. So we are here. It is the start of August. It is August 2nd. And for me, I live my summer by three things. You know how I know it's summer? The X Games, Shark Week, and in some instances, the World Cup. First of all, we don't have to touch on the X Games because I feel like I'm alone in that. But Shark Week, are you feeling the absence of Shark Week in your life?
I like Shark Week. The only thing I'm disappointed about is that Rob Gronkowski was not eaten by a shark.
Well,
as a New York Jets fan,
I
would say that that would have been highly entertaining for me.
Okay. I can understand that. But so yeah, X Games are done. Shark Week is done. Actually, a really good Shark Week this year. I just want to throw that out there. It felt different. They were doing some different things and you know, kind of, I think they recognized that Shark Week was slagging for the last few years and they needed to up the ante. They needed to bring that brand back. The brand was slipping a little bit.
Yes.
So I feel like Shark Week had a nice return to prominence. I'm sad it's no longer here. But one thing also that is gone, and I mentioned that, is the World Cup. Or if we're a couple weeks removed from the World Cup, you know, wrapping up.
Yes.
One of the stars of the World Cup for many different reasons. One, because he's one of the best players in the world, and also because he's one of the greatest actors in the world. Talking about Brazil's Neymar.
Yes.
Headline. Get your... Neymar admits, quote, "Sometimes I do exaggerate in post-World Cup message to fans." You think?
Maybe just a little bit. And here's the thing. Soccer referees, they don't care. They're so completely oblivious to all that goes on. And I can say that because I watch the sport very, very closely. I'm a big, big soccer guy. I watched pretty much every game of the World Cup, even the ones that came out at 4 a.m. I will get up at 4 a.m. to watch Premier League.
I would stay up until 4 a.m. I can't say I'd get up at 4 a.m.
I can't do that anymore. But it's no shock to anybody that Neymar flops and rolls around and acts like he got shot out of a cannon. It's disgraceful what he does. I don't think him admitting it is going to change anything.
No points. No points for being honest.
No, he won't get any. No. They'll still rule fouls because soccer referees, they react to reactions. And it's a shame because it's a great game, but I think you lose a pretty big segment of your audience. It's almost like the effect of there's nothing more annoying than watching a guy celebrate in the NFL when a pass is overthrown and the cornerback celebrates like he did something. No, the quarterback overthrew the pass. You didn't do anything. Well, that's annoying. Just like watching guys roll around on the ground when they're not fouled is annoying. I'm not shocked at Neymar.
Number one.
You Costco guy?
I like Costco, yes.
Are you a Costco guy?
I am not as big of a Costco guy as you, because I heard you last week. You were disappointed about the chocolate pudding?
Okay.
Chocolate yogurt, something
no,
like
no,
that?
No, that's fine. First of all, you don't get to insult my existence by calling non-fat chocolate yogurt chocolate pudding, Magnum. It's not chocolate pudding. I'm not 10, all right?
Eat the jello pudding.
I'm a 34-year-old man, and I like non-fat frozen yogurt, thank you very much. And yeah, it pissed me off. It was $1.29, and they got rid of it. They replaced it with a $5.99 acai bowl. I have no problem healthy living. I got a chicken salad sandwich in the fridge.
Yes.
Made with organic Greek yogurt and a little bit of mayo.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Green onions, organic almonds.
Oh, listen to you.
Shredded organic. Wow. Yeah, very, very healthy. Got my water here.
Yep.
Okay. So I just want to be clear about that. I have no problem with healthy eating. What I have a problem with is taking away my favorite deal at $1.29. All right, and replacing it with no other options. You know, you could have left it on the menu, but no, yeah. You got to replace it with the $5.99 acai.
Yeah, I don't get that. Why do they have to replace it?
Yeah, that's my thing. I guess it was like space in the dispenser. Like you had to have one side of the dispenser vanilla, and the other side of the dispenser is now filled with acai instead of chocolate yogurt.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
It's complete nonsense. It's complete nonsense. They're killing their brand. Upset me to no end. But this isn't what this is about. This is about the other terrible part of Costco. Usually they're great. Usually I live Kirkland life. Like I got Kirkland jeans. I tuck them in just to show off the Kirkland brand. I put the cell phone clip on my side, hike up my pants above my navel.
I like the Kirkland jelly beans.
Yeah, well,
they're good.
I like Kirkland everything.
Okay.
Okay, I like it so much that I venture out, as Ari shows his Kirkland bottled water, I venture out to Costco. I actually go to this place. Let me tell you, it's hell on earth. Have you ever actually been to a Costco?
Oh, I go.
Oh, so you're a member.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I have a membership at the other place, but okay. I do go to Costco because I think their meat is better than the other place.
Okay, so how do you prepare mentally for making a trip to Costco?
It's like when I was a kid and I was an athlete and I had to prepare for the game that we were getting ready to play, because you have to have a game plan when you go into Costco, especially on the weekend and especially up in Summerlin, because that place will eat you alive. It is like going into the Amazon rainforest without mosquito repellent. Huh? You will get eaten alive if you are not mentally prepared for a trip to Costco in Summerlin on the weekend, because it is chaotic.
It's like Mad Max without the trucks, and instead of trucks, you have carts and dollies.
And we don't have Tina Turner singing "We Don't Need Another Hero" playing in the background.
Well, but it's true. We don't have that. Yeah, I feel like I'm not even sure if that would make my trip to Costco any more enjoyable. It is a hellish existence trying to battle over there. And for me, I have to tell myself, Big Mac, remain calm. You know, you got to be on your best behavior.
Now, did you say it in third person like that, Big Mac?
In my head, I do, yeah.
Okay, all right.
I'm a slight psychopath.
Okay, I like that.
I feel like I do have to talk to myself occasionally.
I like that.
And instances like, listen, man, my number one pet peeve, I do mean this. I've been here 10 years. I've lived here 10 years, been coming much longer than that. And I've only been close to being in two fights. And both of those situations revolved around line cutting. One at a Mexican restaurant, one at the tires. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying, line cutting for me is a huge issue. And apparently I'm not the only one. Headline, the samples at Costco were free. Two men in their 70s got into a fight over them, South Carolina police say. Well, doesn't surprise me. A cut in line at a Costco turned two 70-year-old men on each other. Apparently the story goes, we don't have names, but this happened at a Costco in Greenville, South Carolina, when a 72-year-old man cut in line and took some cheese and walked off. according to a police report, okay? After the 70-year-old moved onto the line with free champ, moved onto a line with more free samples of cheeseburgers, police said that the man saw a 72-year-old approaching. Such drama. The 70-year-old was still upset about being kind of front of from the sample line prior.
Yeah.
All right. So he reaches out and he talks to the 72-year-old and he says, he says he could get in front of him because he knew he would just cut the line anyway. So, hey, boss, just get in front of me. You're going to do it anyway. 72-year-old replies, I will do it again. Then saying to the 70-year-old, you're a jerk. Police reply, so I'll do it again. He says, you're a jerk. Well, apparently what happens is after that, there's a little scuffle that happens. Police get called. The guy who throws the first punch, he actually dips out. Okay, he leaves the Costco. He gets caught up with later, and he basically is like, "Yeah, I did it. Yeah, that was a jerk."
First of all, I love the sarcasm and the cynicism of the 70-year-old guy. Just go ahead of me. You're just going to cut ahead of me anyway. I love that. But I'm with you, especially at that place. People will kill their mother to get a quarter of a piece of hamburger that they've just cut out for a free sample. Like, you could see it happening. I always shoot for the meat first because that's kind of going to whet my appetite. It's going to fill me up. So this way, if I don't get the cereal fizzy drink.
Also, though, if meat is available, you have to take it because usually the meat takes time to cook.
Yes, yeah.
So if you get backed up at a Costco sample line, you could be waiting there for a few minutes. And then if you're waiting with those pack of hyenas for a sample, when the samples get brought out, I mean, it's over. Game over. There's no escape.
See, now, they always seem to have some of those Louisiana sausages that have, like, exotic fillings, like mozzarella cheese or zucchini, right? So I've had those a bunch of times. So when I get to the meat section, I'm looking for stuff that I haven't had before, like salmon burgers, which I had a couple weeks ago for the first time. But it's like, all right, cool. I could totally see it happening. And like I said, I'm on the side of the 70-year-old guy because he was strong with his trash talk, and that goes a long way with me.
Well, one of the witnesses said she saw two men argue in front of her, and she confirmed the report of the 70-year-old man. He was the one that was cut in front of. 70-year-old was cut in front of. 72-year-old did the cutting.
72-year-old had no right to throw a punch, though.
Well, no. Well, that's the caveat here, right? So here's the witness. Quote, man in a Hawaiian shirt hit the other man in the head and it sounded very loud.
Wearing a Hawaiian shirt like me, right?
And that the man's hat flew off his head. I mean, how perfect is that? Could it get any more Costco that the fact that, first of all, it was two 70-year-old men fighting over samples, but the fact that one of them was wearing was wearing a Hawaiian shirt?
Probably from Cook Street, which is where I got one of my Hawaiian shirts at Costco. It's a Cook Street Hawaiian shirt. I like it quite a bit, so.
Yeah, police reported that the 72-year-old man said he hit the man's hat off his head after the man got in his face, and he felt that the man was going to hit him because the man was balling up his fist. Really? Like, that's where we're at. Like, you just have to say that you feared. You're like, dude, you were the one who was cutting.
Yeah.
You deserve to get slapped in the face. I have a real issue with line cutting. It's the ultimate disrespect. Like,
it is.
Do you think I'm blind? Do you think I'm blind, number one? And number two, do you think I have no self-respect whatsoever that I'm just going to let you walk in front of me? I don't care about time. I don't care about patience. It's not about that. It's the message that you're sending when you cut a line. Am I crazy?
No, I witnessed this a couple weeks ago. I went to the Anaheim Angels game, and they were giving out Shohei Ohtani bobbleheads.
Oh.
So those...
I bet that was... wow.
They have... two separate lines, because we went in center field.
Oh, wait a minute. I saw this. Actually, you're underselling that. It wasn't just a Shohei Ohtani bobblehead.
It was a double bobblehead.
It was a dual bobblehead.
Yes.
Combined pitching and hitting Shohei Ohtani.
Yes.
Unreal.
So we are in, myself and my 10-year-old son, we are in one of the security lines. And in the line next to us, there are a line of people as well. And one of these guys, he decides he's going to cut. And the guy who he cut, he had his back turned, and he turned around. He's like, wait a minute, this guy wasn't in front of me. Taps him on the shoulder. He goes, excuse me, did you not see me? The guy goes, he was all apologetic, no fisticuffs. He's like, oh, sorry, I wasn't sure if you were in line, blah, blah, you know, that type of thing. Tried to play it off like, oh, well, you were kind of just standing there with a lot of space between you and the next guy, so I decided I was just going to cut you off. Something like that happened to me yesterday. I was going up Rainbow, and I was at the intersection of Rainbow and Sahara. And this woman, we're at the red light, and the light turns green. This woman goes into the turn lane and then cut me off. She went into the left turn lane to get ahead of me and cut me off. And I tracked her down, and I flipped her off.
Well, good for you, Magnum.
So I felt really good about flipping off this, like, 20-something-year-old girl.
Paying it forward.
In a Yugo. No, she wasn't driving a Yugo, but she may as well have been because it was a piece of crap. But
well, I want to go back to the—see, that's the issue. When you saw that happen at the Anaheim game, the perpetrator responded respectfully.
Yes.
Even if you're playing the, oh, I didn't know, you know what? See, I don't get that.
Yeah.
The instances I've been in, the first one was, I don't care, bro. I'm going to eat my food hot. And I was like, no, I see that you don't care. Clearly you don't care. And then it jumped off from that point, and yeah, fists were balled up, but nothing was thrown. But a lot of insults were slung, and yeah. I feel like I came out on the better end of that.
I don't like the line cutters. I mean, to me, that's
the worst.
You're right. It's disrespectful. You may as well spit in my face.
Yeah.
Because I don't exist.
I would actually almost respect that more because you would have to be looking at me in my face when you do it, not just casually strolling up to me and doing a sidestep into what I've been waiting in line for however long.
And not only that, but you know if you spit in someone's face, you're probably getting your teeth knocked down your throat as well. So you know, that takes a little bit of guts to spit in someone's face.
Well,
cutting someone at line, you probably know there's not going to be repercussions, and I don't know. I like the way the 70-year-old handled it.
I do too. And you know, the best news about this story is that there is potentially a happy ending in sight, and that is police are attempting to get surveillance footage from the Costco to help with the investigation. Because as of right now, no charges have been pressed. Please, 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 please get that video.
You know, I thought you were going to tell me that they were going to go and have an acai bowl together.
No. I listen. Don't let's not go back down that rabbit hole. I just got calmed down from that. The Bears have actually scored a touchdown. It's 7-0. Things are going good, Kevin.
I think they just recovered a fumble.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Don't go raining on my parade.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews. Now, back to Cofield and Company.
All right, back here on Cofield and Company, we are in the home stretch. Thanks to our guests, Brad Powers, Adam Candy. If you missed any of their conversations, make sure to check out the podcast. We'll have it up on LVSportsNetwork.com. All right, so all is not lost with the Bears.
No.
All is not lost. What is it, 7-7 right now?
7-7, RG3 with a touchdown pass to tie things up.
Okay, so RG3 getting playing time before Lamar gets playing time.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson.
I think the second half will be all Lamar Jackson. Yeah.
What are you expecting from him?
I think by the end of the season, he will be the starting quarterback.
Yeah?
I do. I liked him a lot in college. I think he played on a team that was so-so. And, he was the most exciting player in college football 2 years ago when he won the Heisman. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. I don't put much stock into that whole Wonderlic thing. You know, I think there were some questions about that. I don't care about that. What I care about is, can a guy throw a ball? Can a guy run the ball? Can he play football? And sure, there's got to be a certain level of intelligence, but I think there's football intelligence, and then there's, like, book intelligence. And it's like street smart versus, you know, book smart. I have a relative who is a doctor. Obviously very, very smart. Street smart-wise, dumber than a box of rocks. So it's one of those things where, look, if you get it, you get it, right? Like, my 10-year-old is brilliant at math. He has no common sense. So it's one of those things. If you could play football, you could play football. So I think Lamar Jackson will be the starting quarterback before the end of the season. And if not, I think going into next season, he will be the number one guy.
Well, he's first-round pick.
Well, yeah.
You just don't pick people in the first round with not having intent in using them.
Unless you're Green Bay and you hold on to Brett Favre for as many years as you possibly can before you finally kick him out. He would still be playing quarterback for the Packers if he could.
That's true. Or unless you're the Chicago Bears and you can't sign your first round top pick. Of course, I'm talking about Roquan Smith, linebacker out of Georgia. Absolute beast. Number 8 overall pick. He is not signed with. He is the last first-round pick to not sign, and he's with the Chicago Bears. He's obviously a hard-hitting, laser, you know, helmet-on body, just absolute murderous hitter, next-level athlete, you know, all the things that you would want as a Chicago Bears fan from a storied culture, as we were talking about earlier.
Linebackers
and defense. As Urlacher goes into the Hall of Fame here in a couple days, you're playing in the Hall of Fame game. You have taken a linebacker, outside in this case, a linebacker to build a round this is a huge get. I understand that, you know, first-round picks haven't always worked out for the Chicago Bears. But when
linebackers
have,
though.
They absolutely have. From Lance Briggs, you know, who was a guy who didn't, you know, wasn't expecting at least to be what he was, which was one of the all-time greats as far as Chicago Bears go.
Yeah.
Obviously, to the names we know, and DeBuckus, Singletary, and Urlacher.
Three of the greatest to ever play the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the real kicker. They, as I said, Roquan Smith is not signed, but the reasons as to why he aren't signed is really, as a Bears fan and really as a football fan, it's disheartening, because it feels like a real shady backroom type of move. And let me get into that. Here's what is holding up there are probably some other things, but here's the main issue that's holding up Roquan Smith signing with the Chicago Bears. Okay, they're trying to put language into Roquan Smith's deal that would essentially cause him to lose guaranteed money should he be fined or suspended for being punished by the NFL for any on-field actions. Now, essentially what that means is if he were to be fined or suspended because of the new rule prohibiting defenders from, you know, helmet-to-helmet contact and all that stuff, it would be taken out of his guaranteed money. Now, I don't always side with the players in terms of holdout situations or deals being made or anything like that. But in this specific instance, I mean, I generally do. I don't want to, but I'm not saying, not every time, okay? In this instance, when you're talking about a guy who, first of all, you signed him to be essentially a headhunter. That's what he is. He is a vicious, vicious linebacker from the University of Georgia. Like, you know what you're getting when you get Roquan Smith. But that's not even my main point of contention with this whole deal. You're trying to have him potentially get and take less money if he gets suspended from a rule that literally none of us have a clear understanding of what could get you suspended. If it looks really bad, you might get suspended. If you go low and then it comes up and touches the jaw, you could get suspended. I understand if he was going out just viciously taking people out, like Perfect, or, you know, there's people that have a history of, you know, Danny Trevathan, Chicago Bear, came back into training camp. He is one of those guys, obviously, last year with his hit on the Packers. Like, that was a brutal hit. Absolutely deserved a suspension. But if you're a young kid, you no tape to go off of as far as NFL experience goes. I in no way would I advise my client, if I'm an agent, to sign a deal where some of my guaranteed money might get taken off the table because of something so subjective and so ridiculous and so unpredictable as this hit rule the details haven't even really been ironed out. It's still very much a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants decision-making. Yes, they got wording in there that, oh, this means that, listen, the fact, it's the same as the catch rule. We don't actually know what we're watching. And you're asking a kid who is putting his brain on the line to sacrifice some of that money on a whim, essentially?
I am totally with you on that, and it's not because I'm anti-player safety. Look, I don't want to see guys get hurt. But the problem is, there's that gray area. You don't know what is a defined illegal hit versus legal hit anymore. The NFL has gotten so far away from the game of football that they add all these confusing things. It's not like college where there's a targeting rule, which I think is completely stupid to begin with. Targeting, guys ejected, yet we see bad hits all the time in college and guys don't get ejected. I don't like the subjectiveness of a rule.
Right.
And basically what you're doing is look, if the guy had arrests, if he had drug use, you want to put something in there. Look, if you get suspended for something you do off the field, this is what's going to happen. I have zero problem with that, but I don't like the precedent it sets to tell a guy, we are going to take money away from you for playing football.
And I also hate what it says from the Bears' standpoint. This is a guy that you have invested in not just a first-round pick, which they're all valuable, but a top 10 first-round pick on a franchise where defense is your culture. We talked about it. It's defense and running back. That's your Chicago Bears culture. That's just what they are. And now you're telling your first-round pick, you're nitpicking, you know, about language in a contract when essentially all you want to tell this guy is, hey, we love you. We went out of our way to – he wasn't projected. I think he was projected closer to like 12, 13.
Yeah.
But they went up. They, I'm not going to say took a risk, but I was surprised a few people by taking Roquan at the 8th spot. I know the Raiders wanted him. People wanted Roquan Smith. The Bears got him. But do you want him? Like, do you really want him? Like, what type of foot are you jumping off? What type of way is this to start a relationship between a high-round pick and a franchise like the Chicago Bears?
Well, here's the other issue. Let's hypothetically say Roquan Smith signs that four-year deal with these terms, and he goes out and he's a Pro Bowl linebacker for three of those 4 years, but yet he gets suspended for these hits. Does he re-sign with the Bears knowing? No, of course not.
Right.
So you are setting yourself up for failure down the road. It's ridiculous. You knew what you were getting with this guy when you drafted him. Why would you punish him for playing the game the way he plays it when you could have passed on him and let someone else draft him?
Exactly. And let's not even go worst-case scenario here. Let's go best-case scenario. Let's say, okay, Roquan Smith has a great year with the Chicago, a great couple years with the Chicago Bears, and there's no controversies, there's no suspensions. He is a ambassador for the Chicago Bears, their brand in the city of Chicago. In the NFL, let's just say maybe he has a similar trajectory to Urlacher, where, you know, top jersey salesman totally changes the franchise and makes him a perennial playoff contender every time they step on the field for every year. Maybe. Like I said, let's just take best case scenario instead of worst case scenario, and then his time is up to re-sign. Do you really want this? And any level, any sort of negativity or sort of questions in your head to be like, do these guys really believe in me? Like, do they really want me? Like, I know that they say they do, but you think back to this contract and you think back to the negative vibes on some level that this relationship got off to. Why?
Well, and that's the other thing. Like, everyone seems to talk loyalty, right? Like, loyalty is a big thing in sports, right? To some people. But I've never heard of a franchise not being loyal to a guy before they ever sign him.
Great point.
You know, it's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard in sports.
You're really starting it off in a combative relationship.
Yeah, we're going to draft you. We want you to play for us, but we're showing you right now that we're not loyal to you before you ever suit up and take the field for us.
Right.
There's no loyalty.
And this isn't some major issue. It's not like he carries a black mark behind him, or it's not like he's done something, or it's not like, in this instance, it's not other people are going through the same thing. He is the last one. Now, I don't know if other people had this written in their contract, but I feel like we probably would have heard about it.
Yeah.
This feels like a very isolated incident, and it seems petty. Like, I understand if you have a leg to stand on, but what's your leg? That you just want to maybe take money from him if he delivers a hard hit and gets suspended? What?
Yeah. To me, the bigger issue, if you're the Bears, you should be going to the NFL and fighting them on this. Because, again, there's no clear-cut definition of what is going to get a guy suspended. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Well, it's definitely not the most reasonable thing I've ever heard.
No, it's ridiculous. It is so stupid. Clearly define the rules. Clearly define the rules. We saw it last year with the catches. I don't know if they've amended that. I guess we'll see as the season goes on. But there is no consistency with things. It drives me nuts. And to be honest, the lack of consistency is kind of driving me away from the game.
Well, yeah, not only, and people talk about the anthem rule or the kneeling and all that, but I'm with you as far as consistency goes, not only with the hitting, but the catch rule and other things. It's, what am I watching?
I watched my Jets lose two games to the Patriots last year. They had one game where Austin Seraphin Jenkins scores a touchdown. The Patriots questioned whether or not he was in the end zone or not. Next thing you know, the refs come out and they're giving the Patriots the ball for a touchback because they said he fumbled the ball out of the end zone. That wasn't what the challenge was. The challenge was, did he cross the goal line or not? He clearly crossed the goal line. He was kind of, did he have possession? Did he not? Because they have zero consistency with the way these things are enforced, it's like goalie interference in the NHL. Clearly define what the rule is because you're going to lose fans. Look, I didn't stop watching because of the anthem. I don't really care about that. But the lack of consistency in the rules, the lack of us having an idea what's a catch, what's not, what's an illegal hit, what's not. I don't watch the NFL to be confused. There's enough things in life that confuse me. I don't want to be confused watching the NFL. And I feel like the league, they're just getting to a point where they don't have any idea what direction they want to go with any of these things.
All right, coming up next, before we get on out of here, it is a quick edition of What's Trending here on Cofield & Company.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.
It's Cofield & Company's...
You want it? Check it out.
Grab bag.
Smells like fish in here.
Hey, don't touch that. That's nothing to play with, man.
On ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.
grab bag time here on Cofield and Company. Thanks to all the listeners. We will be back at it tomorrow. Myself, Mr. Chapman over there in Seidel for the first hour. Should be a good time. Lots of stuff in store for you. Talk about this Hall of Fame game and all the things in the NFL world. I'm sure there'll be more developments in the Urban Meyer situation. But as I speak about the Bears, Magnum, came across a tweet here, a quote and a tweet that I absolutely love.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
I love it for so many reasons. The most reasons. Mostly because I hate Jay Cutler. And the and the quote is from DB, D'Angelo Hall. You know him, you love him. Been in the league forever. Now it's his retirement this week. But he did it with one of the greatest quotes that I can remember in recent memory. Quote, if I'd played against Jay Cutler more, I'd be in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, D'Angelo, you and about 90% of every other defensive back in the history of the NFL.
I like the quote for a lot of reasons. Not more so than there were a lot of Jet fans who were clamoring for Jay Cutler to be their quarterback when he was up for free agency a couple of years ago.
You knew.
And
you,
I was
you,
like,
you knew. You
this
knew.
Guy's a bum. He's got no heart. And his teammates hate him. Why would you want that guy around your team? I love the quote because of the fact that Jay Cutler is a guy, and I like Jay Cutler in college. I thought he was going to be a good quarterback.
Well, he was a good quarterback.
I think he's from Santa Claus, Indiana,
he is,
right?
He's a Hoosier, and he is also the greatest quarterback in Chicago Bears history. That is undeniable.
And that's a shame.
It is.
It's a shame that an organization that's been around, what, 60, 70 years?
Longer than that.
But were the Chicago Stags?
There were two Chicago teams.
Okay.
The Cardinals and the Staleys. And then the Cardinals obviously moved to Phoenix and all that. But yeah, we'll stick with 70. I don't know exactly. I know they got the most Hall of Famers. I know that.
Well, they had.
I know Jay Cutler ain't going to be one of them.
No, but the fact that he is the great, all these Hall of Famers, but he's the best quarterback that's ever played for you. That says a lot about the Chicago Bears in the quarterback position.
I also love that on the day you retire, that you wrap up this great career and all the accolades that D'Angelo Hall had, that you are petty enough or you have a great sense of humor enough to mention Jay Cutler on the way out.
That is fantastic.
That is just like the ultimate dig. Hey, yeah, congrats to me on having a great career, but boy, I'll tell you what, I would have been a lot better if I would have played against that bum Cutler more.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I had a great career. By the way, Jay Cutler, he still sucks. You know, it's great. It's like the ultimate like troll job. Yeah. It really is. It's fantastic.
It's just good to see that coming back around and Jay Cutler getting what he deserves.
And it's funny because
all the pain he put me through.
Because a lot of people don't like Jay Cutler.
No, you don't say.
I think outside of his girlfriend, who he was seen when they lost the NFC Championship game, mm-hmm. The girl who was at the restaurant with him after
Cavallari.
She's probably the only one who has a thing for. Didn't she post nude pics of him or something like that when they were on vacation somewhere and.
Probably intentionally. I missed that.
She probably intentionally posted it too. Yeah.
Listen, I gave Jay Cutler a wiggle room. I gave him a grace period. I traveled to San Francisco. I spent hundreds of dollars to go see him play on a Thursday night game, only to watch him throw six interceptions, the last of which came in the closing seconds. As he made, of course, he drives the whole field, drives 80 yards, remarkable passing, gets all the way to the end, and then boom, interception. No, your dreams are crushed.
That's like the mantra of Jay Cutler.
And I gave him years. I gave him until 2015. I gave him 6 years of my life. I have a Cutler jersey, dude. I have a Jay Cutler number 6 jersey.
See, no, I'm like you.
You know how ashamed I am to say that?
In regards, because I liked Mark Sanchez. But
so you understand.
So I get it, you know?
Bum to bum, joke to joke.
Yeah, I mean, hot dog eating on the sideline. But there were the two AFC title games, his rookie year and his second year. And I'm like, all right, if they could get this far with him not knowing the offense and him really not knowing the NFL, the sky's the limit. Little did I know that year two was the peak of Mark Sanchez's career.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
All right, last up here on the grab bag and here on Coldfield & Company before we get out of here, head to you on your Friday. A bit of interesting information from TMZ. The headline is Charles Oakley catches break in gambling case, not off the hook. I don't know if I buy that. For those of you that don't know, Charles Oakley was here in Vegas. He got arrested on July 8th after he pulled a $100 bet back at the Cosmopolitan once he realized he was going to lose. Essentially the opposite of topping a bet where you would increase a bet to make yourself richer. He recognized that he was going to lose and he tried to take the $100 chip away. He initially got charged with attempting to commit a fraudulent act in a gaming establishment, and he faced up to 6 years in prison if convicted. But now, Clark County District Attorney is telling TMZ that the charge has been reduced to a misdemeanor disorderly conduct. And while the charge carries up to 6 months in jail if convicted, it's unlikely he'll spend another minute behind bars. I got to be honest, man. I hear this, and I think back to something like the IRS, where like the IRS only needs one big case a year to instill fear in everybody else and to keep everybody else in line and like, hey, pay your taxes, don't try to screw the system, don't do anything shady, right? And most people, I think a good majority of people fall in line. This is the opposite of that. You have a huge case that has garnered a fair amount of attention from a gambling standpoint.
With a high-profile person.
Exactly, right? And you go out and you give them a slap on the wrist, effectively telling the rest of gambling that, hey, man, maybe you get caught, maybe you don't, but if you do, we might be lenient with you. And that is not, like, cheating is a problem. I used to deal blackjack here. I didn't have a strong understanding of cheats and sharks and some of the stuff they can do. They are wizards. Like, they are wizards. And the last thing you want to tell them or tell anybody is that you're not hard on cheating. And I understand it's a celebrity.
Yeah.
I get that. But you can't just go dropping felonies to misdemeanors.
I'm with you 100%. I wish it was kind of like the days of Casino. Like, remember the movie Casino where they basically took the guy in the back and broke his hand with a hammer?
Yeah.
To me, that's what should be done to cheats in our city, because what they're doing is they are robbing residents of our city, putting people's jobs on the line.
Yeah.
I don't agree with reducing the charges. Make an example out of him. Look, you can't take him in the back and break his hands. You make an example.
You might break your hands.
Yeah, that's true. you make an example out of him, and you punish him to the fullest extent of the law. The other thing is, it clearly shows that Charles Oakley is a scumbag of a human being. So how big of a scumbag must James Dolan be for Charles Oakley to actually look like the better person in that situation?
I feel like there's some East Coast bias there for you. You're a Knicks guy, aren't you?
No, I'm a Sixers guy. But
that's right.
But
Sixers
I grew up in a Knicks
Sixers
family.
And Jets.
James Dolan is a scumbag.
Okay. Well, I can appreciate that.
I was a Nets fan. I can't get on board with a team leaving my state.
Keith Van Horn.
Kerry Kittles, baby.
That's right. That's what's up. All right. That does it for us here on Cofield & Company. Thanks to our guests, Adam Candy, Brad Powers. As a reminder, all that audio will be up on LVSportsNetwork.com after the show. We will be back at it tomorrow. Got the editor, the combat sports editor from SportingNews.com, Andreas Hale. He's going to be stopping by and joining us, talking about some UFC 227 that's going to be happening Saturday, betting lines, and maybe, just maybe, there's a press conference happening in Los Angeles tomorrow. I'm going to tell you this right now. Don't be expecting.